This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How chronic conflict avoidance progressively destroys your capacity for emotional control when conflict finally arrives. Why dodging conflict quietly erodes the very skill you need most. In short, chronic conflict avoidance does not preserve your emotional control. It dismantles it. Every confrontation you sidestep removes a practice opportunity your nervous system desperately needs. When conflict finally arrives, your emotional response is not simply large. It is undertrained, disproportionate, and almost impossible to self-correct in the moment. Avoidance feels like protection, but functions as deprivation. The calm you feel between avoided conflicts is not regulation. It is accumulation. Emotional control is a practiced capacity, not a permanent trait. Definition: conflict avoidance. Emotional control describes the inverse relationship between habitual conflict avoidance and your ability to stay emotionally regulated during disagreement. The more consistently you sidestep confrontation, the more your capacity for self-regulation atrophies, leaving you reactive and flooded when conflict cannot be escaped. Why emotional control feels solid until it suddenly is not. Most people who describe themselves as calm under pressure have quietly built their sense of calm by never testing it. They navigate around tense conversations. They let things go. They tell themselves they are choosing peace. And for a long time, the strategy appears to work. The problem is that what they call composure is more like an absence. If you never face the thing that threatens to destabilize you, you never discover whether you could actually hold steady through it. You only know that you felt fine when a storm did not arrive. Here is the truth of it. Emotional control is not a fixed trait you either possess or lack. It is a capacity built through repeated exposure to the very discomfort you have been avoiding. Sidestep enough conflict, and that capacity does not stay dormant. It erodes. The precise mechanism. How avoidance trains your nervous system to fail. This is where most explanations stop too soon. People will tell you that conflict avoidance is bad, that it lets problems fester, that tension builds up. All true. But none of that explains why avoidance specifically destroys your emotional control when conflict finally arrives. The answer lies in how your nervous system learns. Your brain's response to interpersonal threat is regulated by structure that responds to patterns of experience, not to logic or intention. When you face conflict and manage your way through it, even imperfectly, your nervous system files that information. It learns that the threat was survivable. Over time, repeated exposure builds tolerance. Your stress response becomes proportionate. You feel the heat, but you do not lose yourself in it. When you avoid, none of that learning happens. You feel the spike of tension, you withdraw, and your nervous system records that withdrawal as the correct response to threat. The tension was real. The retreat felt like relief. The lesson your brain draws is this: conflict is dangerous, and escape is safety. You have not simply avoided an argument. You have trained your stress response to treat future conflict as an emergency. This is where the amygdala hijack becomes relevant. Habitual avoiders, when conflict finally catches up with them, do not experience a manageable spike of discomfort. They experience a disproportionate alarm because their nervous system has been reinforcing the threat signal for months or years with no corrective data. The rational part of their mind is flooded out. What surfaces instead is reactivity, raised voice, sudden silence, tears, or a defensive eruption that puzzles everyone in the room, including the person experiencing it. I have worked through this pattern with hundreds of people over 6 decades. The ones who described themselves as conflict-averse almost never looked calm when real confrontation finally arrived. They looked overwhelmed. They looked like people whose composure was made of glass, not stone. I cover the mechanics of this specific failure and Say It Right Every Time, including the gap between knowing what you should say and being able to say it when your nervous system is in full alarm. The gap is not a character flaw. It is a training deficit. And like any training deficit, it responds to the right kind of practice. What this actually looks like in real situations. Let me give you 3 patterns I have seen repeat themselves without fail. The first is the long-standing tension that finally breaks. 2 colleagues have avoided a real conversation about overlapping responsibilities for 8 months. When a missed deadline finally forces the issue, one of them responds with an intensity that shocks the room. He is not angry about today. He is angry about 8 months of accumulated pressure that his nervous system has been quietly stockpiling. His emotional control has not failed. It was never given the chance to develop. If you recognize this in your own team, the article on signs your team's amygdala high debt problem is destroying synergy in real time will help you name what you're seeing. The second pattern is the person who shuts down completely. She has spent years managing difficult people by becoming invisible during tension. When a performance review forces a direct conversation, she goes blank. She cannot access words or reasoning. From the outside, it looks like disengagement. From the inside, it is emotional flooding and nervous system so overwhelmed that it shuts down non-essential processes, including coherent speech. The third pattern is the one that confuses people most. It is the person who handles the first 3 minutes of conflict beautifully and then suddenly becomes someone else entirely. She prepared. She stayed calm at first. But because her underlying stress tolerance was never built through real practice, the sustained pressure of a live confrontation exhausted her regulation capacity faster than she expected. What trained people can sustain for 20 minutes, she can only manage for 3. These are not character failures. They are the predictable results of a nervous system that was never given the chance to learn that conflict is manageable. Why avoidance masquerades as emotional maturity. One of the most important things I have observed is how thoroughly avoidance disguises itself. Avoiders do not usually see themselves as fearful. They see themselves as considerate, measured, and mature. They have sophisticated explanations for every conversation they did not have. It was not the right time. It would only escalate things. They were choosing their battles. These explanations feel rational because in any single instance, they often are. Sometimes the timing genuinely is wrong. Sometimes a particular argument is not worth the energy. The problem is that avoidance is never a single decision. It is a habit. And a habit of retreat, applied consistently, is indistinguishable in its effects from cowardice, regardless of how well-reasoned any individual retreat felt. This matters for emotional control because the rationalization is part of the mechanism. Each time you explain away an avoided conversation, you reinforce not just the avoidance, but your conviction that avoidance was the right choice. You deprive yourself of the corrective experience that would have shown you, I can face this and stay composed. I do not have to escape to stay safe. The pattern that follows is that when avoidance becomes impossible, you face conflict without that conviction, not just undertrained, but actively believing, at a deep level, that you cannot handle this. That belief accelerates the emotional flooding. It makes self-regulation even harder than the physiology alone would produce. You can read more about how this exact loop operates in teams in the article on how to recognize when your team is stuck in a conflict avoidance loop that blocks synergy. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What genuine emotional control actually requires. Genuine emotional control is not the absence of strong feeling during conflict. It is the practiced capacity to feel that feeling without being directed by it. That distinction matters enormously. People who develop real emotional regulation do not stop feeling fear, frustration, or hurt when conflict arrives. They have simply built enough experience with those feelings, through real confrontation repeated over time, to know the feelings are not the end of the world. They can feel the heat, and still choose their next sentence deliberately. This also speaks to why conversation avoidance kills team synergy. When no one on a team is building real emotional regulation through practice, the team collectively loses its ability to de-escalate when things get hard. The shared competence is never developed. 3 things build this capacity in practice. Enter low-stakes tension deliberately. Disagree in a meeting where the outcome is minor. Point out a problem before it festers into a larger one. Each of these small acts of direct engagement trains your stress response in manageable doses. The deal method outlined in Say It Right Every Time gives you a structured framework for approaching these conversations without relying on instinct alone. Stay in the conversation past your first discomfort. The moment most avoiders flee is when tension arrives, not when it becomes unmanageable. Practice holding your ground to that first spike. You will find, repeatedly, that the spike passes and you are still standing. That is the data your nervous system needs. Debrief honestly after each confrontation. What did you feel? When did the regulation slip? What would you do differently? This reflection builds the self-awareness that allows you to catch emotional flooding earlier next time, before it has fully arrived. For teams working through this together, the article on how to de-escalate team conflict without destroying synergy offers practical approaches you can apply immediately. The compound cost of a long avoidance pattern. There is one more dimension to this that deserves direct attention. Avoidance does not just weaken your emotional regulation. It compounds the intensity of the conflict you eventually face. Every issue you sidestep does not disappear. It waits. And while it waits, it accumulates weight. The unspoken resentments, unmet needs, and unaddressed tensions that build up over months of avoidance are all present in the room when conflict finally arrives. The conflict you face after a year of avoidance is not the same as the conflict you would have faced in the first week. It is larger, more charged, and much harder to regulate your way through. This is the real cruelty of avoidance. It feels protective in the short term. It produces genuine relief in the immediate moment, but it exponentially increases the difficulty of the situation you will eventually face, while simultaneously reducing your capacity to handle it. You end up facing your hardest emotional test with your most depleted regulation. The articles on how unmet needs drive team conflict and how to use the DEAL method to resolve conflicts fracturing team synergy both address what to do once you are already in the compounded situation. But the deeper work is what happens before it reaches that point. The practice you cannot skip. After 6 decades of watching this pattern play out, I'm certain of one thing. You cannot think your way to better emotional control in conflict. You can read every framework, prepare every script, understand every piece of psychology, and then conflict will arrive. Your nervous system will spike, and your brain will reach for its most practiced response. If its most practiced response is retreat, that is what you will get, no matter how much you understood the theory 5 minutes before. The only intervention that works is the one you cannot skip repeated, deliberate engagement with real interpersonal tension in progressively increasing doses, with honest reflection afterward. That is not a comfortable process, but comfort was never what built capacity. Conflict avoidance emotional control is not reversed by insight alone. It is reversed by the practice you choose to stop avoiding. Frequently asked questions. What is conflict avoidance emotional control? Conflict avoidance emotional control refers to the way habitual avoidance of disagreement gradually weakens your ability to stay regulated when tension finally surfaces. Each avoided conflict removes a practice opportunity, leaving your nervous system undertrained and reactive when real confrontation arrives. Why does conflict avoidance make emotional regulation worse over time? Avoidance prevents the repeated exposure your nervous system needs to build tolerance for interpersonal tension. Without practice managing real conflict, your stress response grows hypersensitive. When conflict finally arrives, your emotional reaction is disproportionately intense because your system has never learned to process it calmly. How do you rebuild emotional control after years of avoiding conflict? You rebuild by starting with low-stakes disagreements and working upward progressively. Each small confrontation you manage calmly trains your nervous system to handle greater tension. The goal is not to see conflict, but to stop reflexively retreating from it whenever it naturally arises. What does emotional flooding feel like during conflict? Emotional flooding feels like a sudden loss of access to clear thinking. Your chest tightens, your voice rises or disappears, your reasoning becomes narrow and reactive. You say things you did not plan or go completely silent. It is not weakness. It is an undertrained stress response that practice can correct. Can conflict avoidance feel like emotional control even when it is not? Yes, avoidance produces the short-term sensation of calm, which people mistake for emotional regulation. But genuine emotional control means staying regulated while engaging with tension, not escaping it. Avoidance is suppression with good timing. The emotional charge does not dissolve. It accumulates. How does the amygdala hijack connect to conflict avoidance patterns? When you habitually avoid conflict, your amygdala never learns that interpersonal tension is survivable. Each avoided confrontation reinforces the threat signal. When conflict finally arrives, the amygdala fires a disproportionate alarm, overwhelming your prefrontal cortex and producing the reactive behavior that avoidance was meant to prevent. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.